This is an invited session of APHA. For those of you who don't know how the International Health Section operates, many of the sessions are a collection of presentations that were selected based on abstracts that people submitted. And sometimes that results in a sort of a coherent whole, often it doesn't. But the section reserves maybe a third of its slots for what we call invited sessions, where people propose to organize an entire session around some theme, and the program committee leadership agrees that this would be a good, strong part of the program, and gives the green light, and then that individual or individuals is responsible for organizing the whole session and selecting speakers and everything. And this is an invited session. The section agreed with me that it would be of interest to have a session in the National Health Section program this year, focusing on faith-based organizations and their role, their contribution, challenges, and so forth in global health. And in discussing what might be of most interest, we decided to narrow down the topic to one dimension of global health, particularly family planning. This is going to be a reflection of some of the work that CCIH has done over the years. I'm also the executive director of CCIH, but I'm not sure whether that's relevant to this session or not. CCIH is a network of Christian organizations and individuals. We also have some non-Christian individual members. We have secular affiliates. And our mission is crisply stated as promoting global health and wholeness from a Christian perspective. Several years ago, I was thinking that it would be good if we could bring the voice of our network to the sensitive topic of family planning. It would have been much safer and easier to avoid a sensitive topic like that, but since the epidemiological data about the importance of child spacing, family planning for good maternal and child health are so compelling, we argued that even though there are many different views in the faith community about family planning, we could not really honestly be evidence-based public health professionals driven by our faith if we avoided the topic of family planning. And it took a couple of years to get our board comfortable with taking that on, but we did, and now we are very deeply involved in both advocacy and program support in a couple countries to develop, expand, and advocate for family planning services. So what this invited session today will represent will be, to a considerable extent, not all of it is related to our CCIH work, but to a considerable extent, we want to share with you the experience that we have had and that some of our members have had in both advocacy and program support for family planning. So I think it's going to be a quite interesting session, and we welcome all of you. The format is going to be allowing each presenter 14 minutes. I'm going to try to be a firm but disciplined timekeeper. Kathy is helping me. And we will have 14 minutes for each presenter. If they choose to present for less than that, we may have time for a bit of Q&A, clarifying questions, for example, before we go to the next speaker. But we want to get through all the speakers so that by the end of the by the end of the session, we'll still have a little block of time where we can have some Q&A and discussion and debate on the larger theme of this session. So, we start out with Adrian Allison. I won't make very long presentations. Adrian works for World Vision. She's been as manager of some projects that I call family planning. They call it healthy timing and spacing of pregnancies. Adrian has had an illustrious career with a number of other family planning organizations through the years, some of which were funded by USAID, where I used to work. So Adrian, and we're very glad to have the engagement of such a big NGO, FBO, like World Vision in the family planning issue. And she will share something of the reasons that World Vision decided to get engaged in this area.
Okay. I got to do this. Can I take this out? Okay, thank you, Ray. As you can see, the slide on the front is for tomorrow. So if you want to hear more about that, come tomorrow. Because I was going to show this to you today, but then I decided after talking with Ray that it would be more interesting for you to have the background story of what we did to help World Vision become an advocate for family planning. I'll go back to the beginning. The World Vision Partnership is the world's largest humanitarian organization dedicated to working with the poor, children, families, and communities. World Vision is a Christian organization that serves people of all faiths. Of our 40,000 staff in nearly 100 countries, about 95% live in their home regions. World Vision's goal for all the programs ultimately is to improve the well-being of children and families, which is the clue that we're going to follow up. World Vision US has a private donor support base of about 60%. 60% of our donors are supporting sponsored children. Of those donors, many of them are conservative, evangelical Christians for whom family planning means or meant, I hope it's past tense, abortion. World Vision does not support abortion. Consequently, the World Vision US leadership for years and years avoided discussing family planning. In 2007, World Vision received their first USAID grant that focused solely on family planning. World Vision US was concerned that the grant would lead to unintended consequences and alienate our donor base. Fortunately, the title of the grant was Integrated Birth Spacing Project. Birth spacing was an okay term, and we started using the word contraception, not the term family planning. The grant had two objectives. One, to build the capacity of World Vision to implement integrated family planning activities and supplement and then have pilot projects in Haiti, Senegal, and India. Today, we're going to focus just on World Vision and how it came to embrace family planning. We're going to cover 3 points of the process that we used to get World Vision to where it is now. First, build on what you have. Second, find champions and strengthen them. And third, continuously seize opportunities to integrate healthy timing and spacing of pregnancies. Okay, back to number one, build on what you have. We discovered that the World Vision Partnership in 2006 wrote a reproductive policy on a partnership policy on reproductive health that states World Vision holds the position that human life begins at conception. World Vision does not provide, recommend, nor support abortion or methods of family planning that are determined to be abortive. However, World Vision US had not really disseminated or discussed this document, possibly because it used the term family planning, also because it used another term, reproductive health. And reproductive health, according to the International Conference on Family Planning in Cairo in 1994, includes the right to safe abortion. So you can see we're walking a very delicate line. Consequently, very few people in World Vision US knew the policy existed. In fact, many thought World Vision's position was the opposite of the policy. The partnership policy was supported by the management policy on reproductive health that was simply unknown, or as we say in Christian communities, lay fallow. The policy provided guidance on the implementation of effective reproductive health programs based on biblical principles, the best medical knowledge available, and good medical ethics. You see how wonderful it was that the people who drafted this put in the best medical knowledge available. Here are some examples of the wording in this policy. World Vision health interventions are characterized by technical excellence, respect for the individual, and the sanctity of human life. World Vision does not provide, nor recommend, nor support abortion. Reproductive health services include improved quality and coverage of family planning services and the prevention of abortion and management of its consequences. World Vision provides individuals and couples with the knowledge and means necessary to determine the number and spacing of their children so they are better able to provide for their children and help ensure the survival and well-being of both child and mother. That was perhaps the most important part of the management policy. We began an extensive advocacy education campaign to educate our own World Vision staff. World Vision does support family planning and all methods that are not primarily and intentionally abortive in nature, which generally means all methods of contraception but abortion. Lesson two. Find champions and strengthen them by supporting their voices and their work. We implemented an advocacy strategy. We implemented an advocacy strategy to build support for World Vision within the greater partnership. We used current, accurate scientific data on the impact of birth spacing on maternal and child health and related this to World Vision's goal: improve the well-being of children and their families. In 2008, new material on the impact of healthy timing and spacing of pregnancies began to be published. Pathfinder named this, the data, Healthy Timing and Spacing of Pregnancies. The focus on the health benefits of family planning was even more appealing to World Vision than focusing on birth spacing. So we began to use the term Healthy Timing and Spacing of Pregnancy, or HTSP, in all our documents. We continually update the material and make presentations at least semi-annually to all World Vision staff globally using the webinar. The scientific data on the health benefits of timing and spacing has been our key advocacy material. Now here, I want to show you I'm not going to go over the charts necessarily, but I'm going to show you, no disclosures to disclose. I'm going to show you four charts that were really the most compelling things that won the doubters, or the people who are very cautious, over to family planning. As you can see here, the birth to pregnancy interval and relative risk of neonatal and infant mortality. If the previous birth to pregnancy interval is 6 months or less, an infant is 3.5 times more likely to die than if the preceding interval is 36 to 47 months. That's a compelling reason to make sure that those babies are born well enough apart that they're going to live. The same thing actually holds true for under 5 mortality. You can see that if the preceding birth interval is less than 6 months, it's 2.97, which is almost 3 times higher than it is if the birth interval, we say the birth interval optimally should be 36 to 47 months, but here we see that really the best interval is 60 to 95 months, 5 to 8 years is actually the best interval to have to ensure that your children are going to survive. This slide shows the impact of age on maternal mortality. As you can see, the golden age is 20 to 24. Earlier than that, maternal mortality rates rise. You know that teenagers are more inclined to die than our mothers aged 20 to 24. But after age 30, look how maternal mortality again begins to rise. Oops, 5 minutes. Okay, that's the end of that. No, I'm going to have one more. It's a very important one. I just got this one. This one shows percent of children who are not undernourished by the duration of the preceding birth to contraception level. Can you see that if we didn't have a single nutrition program in the world, but we only had birth spacing, look what would happen to undernutrition of children. So therefore, my contention is we hope to do, always have family planning integrated with birth, with nutrition programs. Now we're going to get down to number 3, continuously identify and seize opportunities for integrating HTSP. I'm going to tell you a little story. We posted an article on integrating family planning with maternal and child health on the World Vision intranet. One employee wrote to say that the intranet master to say she could not work for World Vision if we supported family planning. My supervisor assured me this was good news. At least one person had read my article. I am going to tell you another breakthrough that we had, which was a key breakthrough came when I was standing at the copier and I saw a diagram of the life cycle approach that did not include healthy timing and spacing of pregnancy. So we worked with our own World Vision maternal child health team to integrate HTSP at key points in the life cycle. If I hadn't been at the copier, I would never have known it wasn't there. Okay, now we're going to go down to conclusions. Before we get to conclusions, one more very good thing that we've done. We've actually managed to get emergency contraceptive pills into our humanitarian and emergency affairs programs because we work with so many women who are refugees, and we now support emergency contraception as a method of family planning in emergency situations. Conclusions. By focusing on the health benefits, not the economic or demographic benefits of family planning and healthy timing and spacing of pregnancy, the World Vision Partnership now supports family planning to save lives. Just get this little cursor down here. To save the lives of infants, children, and mothers, which supports World Vision's overall goal, improving the well-being of children and their families. Thank you.
Given the size of World Vision, you know, the annual budget of World Vision U.S., not counting World Visions in other countries, is in the vicinity of $1 billion. So the influence and reach of World Vision is vast. And so we're absolutely delighted that you've come to that appreciation of the importance of family planning.
I'm just going to add one little thing. The World Vision Partnership is vast. And probably the most difficult constituent that we have is World Vision U.S.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.